Good afternoon, everybody, and we're live on the program today. 321-1670, 321-1670, star 123 on your U.S. cellular phone. And remember that these programs are always posted on carolcobyradio.com, carolcoby, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. So tell your friends and family about it and pass the word along. We like to be available to you at your convenience, and always noon on Saturday isn't convenient for everybody. So we're happy to be able to provide that service to you. Today is August 6th. On Tuesday is Election Day in Wisconsin. Not the whole state, but in several districts around the state, and the broad coverage area of WTDY, I know, reaches some of those districts. So this is just a reminder to each and every one of you in those districts to get out and vote. That's what this is all about. We are the employers of our legislative body. And so if you have a statement to make, and depending on what you feel about certain issues, by going to the poll, that's how you can make your best statement at all. There has been some literature that's gone out that has made it a little confusing as to what date the election is. However, with what you hear on radio and television these days and in the newspaper, I can't imagine anybody doesn't know it's Tuesday, August 9th. But just as a reminder to you, and speaking of radio and television, as I talk on the radio, as you're looking at the ads, those are 30-second, 60-second sound bites done by very clever marketing people. And to learn the facts in depth and as accurately as possible, do a little bit more research on your own. And you can look up articles, talk to people, get their perspective, and don't always talk to those people who only agree with you. Talk to those people who don't agree, and ask them questions. Why do you feel that way? And tell them your perspective. But do a little bit of listening, and we have too much of the blame game going on these days. So a little bit more listening, a little bit more in-depth studying will help everybody make wise decisions to make Wisconsin and to continue to be the wonderful state that it has always been. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, and there's something very special about our state, unique, and we just want it to stay that way and become even a better environment for all of us to grow up, to live, and to expand our opportunities. With that said, I opened the paper this morning, and much to my chagrin, I saw a small article in the paper, Community Action Coalition Cuts Hours. Now, this isn't the topic of our conversation today, certainly not the guest, but it does tie in a little bit, because this is what our locally, regionally, statewide, and nationally that we are all faced with, this particular challenge. And the article starts out with, facing increased demand but a strained budget, the Community Action Coalition for South Central Wisconsin last week cut back the hours it serves the hungry, homeless, and others in need. And this, the particular services are being provided for an expanding number of clientele, and while the services and hours are being cut back. The services provided include clothing center, a food warehouse serving 70 food pantries, homeless prevention and housing case management services, and the community gardens program. So these are all things that are support systems for people who are in difficulty, and also prevention methods of helping people stay on their own and learn those skills and get into the system and make decisions in their own life that help them become more independent and self-sustaining. So that's sad news. And I know that our guests today on the program can speak to that. I'm pleased to have in the studio with me Rick Bourne, who is president and CEO of Home Health United. And joining him is Janet Bolig. And Janet even gave me the name tag because she has so many titles. She is responsible for so many things. And as Rick said, she's really jack of all trades. But Janet is a social worker and director of social work, spiritual services, and community resource program at Home Health United. And Janet has another claim to fame. She went to high school with Sly. So here, pull your mic up a little closer to you, Janet. So the first question is, what was Sly like in high school? I just remember Sly being into the audio video, into as far as the music. And the radio program for the high school.
Well, I think it's really in his DNA. It's always, from everybody whom I've ever met that has known him throughout his life, this is who he was and what he did. And sometimes you said even back then he could be a little bit outrageous and cutting edge.
Absolutely.
Well, he sure does a good job. He is very, very knowledgeable. He does a lot of studying. And so even though he has his own style, he really does spend a great, great deal of time learning about the issues and doing it in his way to give his point of view to the audience. So we enjoy Sly around here. But Home Health United, you are quite an organization, Rick. You provide services in 25 counties in southern Wisconsin. You're a 501c3 nonprofit organization and a United Way agency, Medicare and Medicaid certified, and you accept other insurance programs as well. You've been named among the top 25% of the home healthcare agencies in the country. Congratulations to Home Health United for that. You're always striving to do your best, and basically you have the goal, the same goal as your clientele, to live safe, healthy, independent lives, and all of the services that you provide are focused towards that particular goal.
Absolutely.
And you have home health services, home medical equipment services, hospice services, community health and wellness programs, a whole list of them. And I invite people to go to the homehealthunited.org website. It's quite complete and very consumer friendly. You can really tell what you do, and it's very helpful for people to connect in with a particular need.
Great.
So you have been here how long now, heading up Home Health United?
Well, actually, Carol, thank you for having us on your show. Been with Home Health United a little bit over 4 years, and actually came from Montana and have actually been in the home care industry for about 29 years. So absolutely have a passion for it. And again, helping people stay safe and independent in their home settings is what we're all about.
And is your clientele growing?
Absolutely. We are growing by leaps and bounds, virtually with all of our service lines. There's so much more of a need. You know, the baby boomers, which I'm part of, I'm getting a little bit older and going to probably be needing services relatively soon. And so we're just going to be seeing an increase. The challenge is going to be how are we able to fund these very important programs to help people keep themselves safe and independent in the home setting.
With the growing aging population, where do you find the most need for services? What areas are really being tested in Home Health United?
Actually, I would have to say all of them are. Anywhere from our licensed and certified home health services to our hospice services, helping individuals once again stay in the home setting, going through the dying process. Our Meals on Wheels program is very, very busy. Our flu program continues to be very busy. Our home medical equipment, again, very important items that people don't necessarily take into consideration until you have a need, but keeping those individuals in the home setting. So I would actually have to say all of them are growing quite exponentially.
You talked about massive cuts, and I alluded to the Community Action Coalition article in the paper this morning that they're experiencing cuts and cutting back. They're being forced to cut back and still trying to provide the services. How are you dealing with the massive cuts that you've already received and the threat of additional cuts down the road?
It is definitely a challenge, and we are always looking at how can we maximize our revenue so we're able to take care of the individuals in the home. How can we reduce expenses? How can we streamline processes, make it to where we can continue to be viable to be able to provide those services? We also have a foundation that we solicit monies for to keep and maintain those programs. And once again, the important part is keeping them independent and safe in the home setting. So we utilize our foundation. It's very valuable. We're a United Way agency and get funds from United Way, which has been very helpful. And we're just going to have to continue to look for those types of avenues of funding to be able to continue with those services. But it is going to be a challenge, especially with all of our service lines. There's already the potential, as you indicated, for additional cuts. We know there's going to be another 4% cut in our home health services come January 1st.
Now, is that from Medicare?
That is from Medicare, yes.
From Medicare.
Which is the majority of our population, about 85% of our population for licensed home care services.
Who can receive Medicare services?
Well, individuals that are typically 65 or plus, and Janet's probably a little bit more the expert than I am, but basically if you paid into the Medicare program and it depends upon the type of service. If
And what I'm alluding to is that sometimes for the in-home services and those kinds of things have often been, there's a kind of a gray area. Yes. What is private pay? What do you have to pay for yourself versus what will the Medicare or Medicaid pay for?
Right now, licensed and certified home health services along with hospice services are paid 100% by Medicare. The programs that are not paid by Medicare are those that are the private duty component, where somebody needs somebody anywhere from an hour per day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, maybe to cook, clean, help them with some bathing, if in fact they don't have some sort of a skilled need.
And do you have anything to add to that as far as the services? Because I know that you're working daily with clienteles in all kinds of areas.
When you're referencing to the custodial, which is what we call the home chore, the Meals on Wheels, those sorts of things, that's custodial type service. The skilled service for the clinical home care and hospice is that, well, actually just for home health, is that you need to be considered homebound, which means it's a taxing effort to leave the home. You are still able to go to church, get your hair done, do those sorts of things. However, you're strictly homebound, and the skilled need requiring the skill of a nurse, a therapist, to provide clinical care needs. Of course, those services are physician-ordered and are intermittent in nature.
Do the clients have to be hospitalized first before they can receive those services?
No, they
so
do not.
So a physician can write a prescription for that.
Absolutely.
That's really helpful. I know I was just talking earlier with my aunt who lives in another state, and she has difficulty getting to her doctor's office because she is wheelchair bound and she needs somebody to ride with her, even though they have the wheelchair transportation. But finding people and getting out and getting to the physician's office and then waiting in the lobby and having somebody make that commitment to be with her is very difficult. But this way, they can get those regular checkups by a nurse coming to them.
Exactly.
Is this more? This has to be more cost efficient.
It definitely is much more cost efficient, and it helps reduce hospital stays. And people want to be in their own home setting as opposed to being institutionalized, if at all possible. Sometimes it's not always appropriate. Sometimes there's definitely needs for skilled nursing facilities, those types of places. However, I know myself, I would prefer to be in my own home setting. I think the majority of population would be as well. And it is much more cost effective, depending upon the type of service that you actually have.
So right in the midst of all this, the elephant in the room, so to speak, in this whole discussion is healthcare reform.
Yes.
And how does healthcare reform fit into all of this? What are your feelings about healthcare reform and how it should move forward?
Well, as I indicated, it's going to be very, very challenging. And again, I think there's going to be much more of a need for us to provide services in the home setting because it is much more cost effective than other venues for healthcare. However, it's going to be kind of a juggling act because we are going to be seeing reimbursement cuts, as I indicated, with home health. Fortunately, with hospice, we're actually going to see a 2.5% increase in reimbursement for 2012, but we believe that's short-lived. And then for the home medical equipment, we believe that we're going to see very significant cuts. And with the home medical equipment, it's anywhere from oxygen to a wheelchair to a hospital bed, whatever a patient may need to keep them in the home setting. So we're watching healthcare reform very, very closely. Unfortunately, my crystal ball is very cloudy right now.
I was just going to ask you, what does your crystal ball say?
It's not a good one, and I don't know if anybody has the answer to that. That's why we have to watch it very closely, and we have to be a voice out there making sure that there aren't significant cuts, because if there's significant cuts, we are going to be limiting how much we can actually help people stay in the home setting.
The challenge is you can cut healthcare or go do away with the healthcare reform, but we don't as a nation do away with helping people. And right now the care, if somebody doesn't have any kind of services or insurance available to them, we do provide universal healthcare, and it's called the emergency room.
Exactly.
Which is the most costly. And it's only the treatment for the moment of a particular problem. It isn't following through, or it isn't working with someone to not get to that position in the first place. So I think people are elude themselves when they think that we don't have some kind of a system. And as a civilized society, as a civilized country, I can't imagine that we'll ever let people just lie on the street and not be taken care of.
Boy, I sure hope not.
Yeah. Healthcare reform, one of the things that's built into it, and many of the conditions that you are working with, the patients, the conditions they have are the chronic conditions. And from everything that I read, it's chronic conditions are one of the major causes of our rising healthcare. And management of the chronic conditions is really key to holding down costs and improving quality of life, which, you know, sometimes people forget to talk about the quality of life. But I see you have a community health and wellness division where you actually focus on that. What role do you see prevention playing in this whole thing of the evolution as healthcare reform continues to unfold, Janet?
Well, the prevention is absolutely necessary. I think that's really the key, is not to be reactive, but to be more proactive in looking at some of the chronic conditions, looking at how one can be maintained at home when you have an exacerbation of one of those chronic conditions. Usually that warrants the hospitalization and the need for some clinical home care upon their discharge. The concern that we always have is, are people accessing what they need? Are they getting the services they do need in the home in order to address some of these exacerbations?
I read somewhere that with services, that the services and the medical professionals, we can do half the job. We can assess what you need and get to you what you need and provide the services. But then the other half of the job is up to you to follow the guidelines, to do what you need to do. And is that what you're doing when you work with people, to try to find the balancing between what you can provide and then helping them add their 50% worth?
Absolutely. And much of what we do is education and guidance. We really want people to be independent. We want them to be able to provide their own independence and become more aware and knowledgeable about their disease management and how they can manage most effectively and to stay out of the hospitals.
What are the major chronic conditions that you are dealing with right now?
We deal with so many, and again, the comorbidities as well. So people have several different types of diagnoses. Mm-hmm. We frequently will see chronic heart failure, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, those folks with diabetes, issues with the diabetic condition, folks with pneumonia, orthopedic needs.
Just a very broad range.
Yeah.
Just
yes.
Pretty much anything. And we see all types of patients with all types of diagnoses, as Janet indicates, and making sure that, if appropriate, they are able to stay in their home setting.
Rick Bourne and Janet Bolig are our guests today on All About Living. Rick is President and CEO, and Janet is Director of Social Work, Spiritual Services, and Community Resource Program. And I know that as other organizations are facing the realities of the cuts and the economic challenges, they are often using the term reinventing themselves or looking at new initiatives and being creative in trying to be maintain the excellence and provide the services and yet do it within the new framework. So I know that you are right up there amongst all of those organizations doing that, and you have the new program, Community Resource Program, which is added to your title, Janet. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we want to hear about this community resource program and how this more efficiently is connecting people with their needs and with the organizations or the services that are available to them. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. This segment of our program is brought to you by Home Health United, and you've got a friend right here in the 25 counties and right here in the studio today and online at homehealthunited.org. And we'll be back with more of our program after these messages. Welcome back to our program, also available on www.carolcobyradio.com. And if you're ever out of our listening area, you can listen to this program and all of the programs on WTDY at WTDY.com. They're all streamed live. So lots of ways in which you can hear all of the wonderful offerings that this station and Midwest Family Broadcasting offers. And our guests today are no exception to this. I am so pleased to have in the studio with me Rick Bourne, who is president and CEO of Home Health United. And also joining him is Janet Bolig, who is director of social work, spiritual services, and community resource program at Home Health United. And we were talking about the services and the cuts that are coming, and a lot of organizations are really struggling with this right now, trying to continue to provide services of quality to a growing population and facing massive cuts at the same time, and they're beginning to reinvent themselves. Last week on this program, Dr. Frank Byrne, president of St. Mary's Hospital, was on, and I know Home Health United has a relationship with St. Mary's and provides home services there, as with many, many other hospitals too. But as he was saying, he says our system today isn't sustainable, and we have to look at new and creative ways. And the best way to look at it from his perspective, just keeping the patient in mind and being patient-centered, and then you build out how you're going to make this happen in all of the various areas. And you're doing this kind of approach with their new program, the Community Resource Program, Janet, which you are heading up. And explain a little bit about what the thinking was behind this program and what it is.
Actually, thank you.
You're
actually
welcome.
It's been several years that we had kind of thought about this, or I had thought about this. And it was determined early part of 2010, that maybe we could offer some type of service for, as a community service initiative. We had identified within our company itself all the various programs and services we provide to be able to look at all the patients presently being served and to further assess for other needs that these patients and their families might need. Around that same time, we were receiving some phone calls from local physicians inquiring about receiving some medical social work services and telephone contacts with some of their patients and families. Being that we were part of the clinical services division, we were unable to do that, but we had identified that as a need in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Once we started hearing from more and more physicians, we determined that maybe we need to look at how can we provide the service and to provide a free consultative medical social work telephone contact, if not a visit, to assess the needs of some folks in the community. Our primary goal is to really educate and provide options for these patients and families so that they have an idea of what's available out there for them. We're able to look at a lot of different things. What type of needs do they have at the home? Do they need some type of clinical service? Do they need some home medical equipment? Do they need some home chore assistance? Do they have questions regarding long-range planning, community resources in the community, such as Lifeline or Meals on Wheels? Really looking and answering questions for not only the consumer, mm-hmm. but also their family and friends that might have some additional questions.
With any difficulty, there are often multiple needs. And what it sounds like is you're looking at the total person, the total household, the total environment in which they live, and how can you maximize all of that to be well?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so do they have to call you?
Yes, they do. We actually have been trying to market the program, and they're able to call Home Health United. We have a direct line. Phone number is 1-800-900-8040, and that goes right to our central intake part of our company, at which point they're able to pass this information on. We will make an initial phone contact with that person who's inquiring about services, and if needed, we might even make a home visit and meet with them directly to identify some of the needs they may have.
Now, some of the referrals that you make, they're not all to Home Health United.
No, they are not.
So it's encompassing all of the services and the resources that are available.
Absolutely.
Within the locale of the individual.
It's our job to provide options. So if we identify that there might be a need for transportation or for clinical services, for example, we're going to provide all the information, all the various providers in our service area, in their service area, that could help them. It would be their choice as far as what service to utilize.
Then is it up to them to make that contact with that particular service?
Mm-hmm.
So you provide the consultation.
Absolutely.
You said it's free.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's free totally. How are you paying for this, Rick?
Well, actually, we're in the process of looking for grants, and we recently partnered and will be partnering with United Way of Dane County to do kind of a program that is similar, but it fits into the community resource program. So we're real excited about that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking for monies to be able to do this. And one of the things I guess I'd want to mention as well is that our social workers are on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If it's an emergent situation, it'll be one where obviously we'll have that individual or help that individual call 911. But at the same point in time, maybe somebody is worried about whether they'll be able to eat the next day. They can call at 8 o'clock at night and get a hold of a social worker, and they can basically triage that individual into one of the very, very good programs that we have with the Meals on Wheels for both Independent Living and Home Health United.
So the funds you'll find the funds through grants, or administratively you're absorbing them.
Yes.
And actually through efficiency, is it possible that this may be cost efficient too down the road, because you get people connected appropriately right from the
Absolutely.
Beginning?
And it goes back to doing everything preventative and making sure that we get them facilitated with the right healthcare venue as quickly as possible, so that their conditions, as Janet mentioned earlier, aren't exacerbated.
I understand that a real live person will answer the phone all the time.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe, you know, it's going to be something new and different. You know, punch line one or line two. That is terrific. And is this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a real live person will answer?
Absolutely. They can contact that particular number. Again, 1-800-900-8040 is right to our central intake division of our company. At that point, that they will make contact with the social worker on call. What we have found in this program is that most people that are calling, it's not emergent. Most of the time, they just want information. They've identified that possibly their loved one has had frequent hospitalizations, some problems with their chronic condition, maybe some pain control issues, falls, and just really looking at how they can make their home safer. So again, we're strictly educational, providing the resource information that people need and helping guide them.
Is there an age requirement or constraint?
No, there is not.
That's another thing. You service people of all ages. It's not just the elderly or people who are on Medicare.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I'm not sure all people understand that. How does this compare with 211, United Way's 211 program?
We really want to be able to collaborate with 211. I think, again, when we're talking about the medical social work consultation, we're looking at a lot of the medical needs that somebody might have. So there's the difference there. Virtually, I mean, we're similar. We're providing education and resource guidance. And so it's similar. There's so many people out there, so many people that have the questions and need answers.
How many calls do you receive?
We basically, I think the last time I looked, we've had over 300 contacts at this point. And we've referred out many, many to all sorts of different resources.
So if people are having a dementia problem, or somebody is just not acting correctly, and they're beginning to really worry about it, if they called your number, they could get connected with the Alzheimer's Alliance, for example, or any agency or service that would fall in that category.
Exactly.
Yeah, and things exacerbate when somebody's got a problem. All of a sudden, it's getting to the point, a next step. And so the next step would be to call this number. We will post that on the Carol Kobe website. 1-800-900-8040. So we'll have that number available. And I want to talk a little bit about, you alluded to the fact that there's a new United Way program that you'll be working with, and it kind of ties right in and is a seamless movement to combine the two together to even provide more safety. It's amazing to me, the word prevention keeps coming out, and perhaps that's the way. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you are really looking at how you're going to handle today's environment is just to focus on prevention and what that means for the type of services that you provide.
Exactly.
Any comment on that, Janet?
Well, maybe we can talk a little bit about the SAFE.
Okay. Why don't we stop for a break
first,
and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the SAFE program and how prevention does really is evolving into all of what you have to offer. Our guests today are Rick Bourne and Janet Bolick, both from Home Health United, and we're talking about community services available for people in the homes in order for them to stay safe, healthy, and independent. through the use of services, professionals, licensed medical people, medical equipment, hospice services, and health, wellness, and prevention guidance. And we'll be back with more information on another new program that focuses along these lines right after these messages. This segment of our program has been brought to you by Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to All About Living here on WTDY 1670. This program is also available, carolcobyradio.com. The program today will be posted probably midweek next week. So if you want to pass this along to someone, it will be on carolcobyradio.com midweek next week. And I will include all contact information, including the Community Resource Program telephone number, 1-800-900-8040. And that's a 24-hour, 7 days a week service, phone service. The phone will be answered by a real live person, and you cover. They'll cover referrals and discussions on any area of need within a home or a person's environment that is threatening their safety, their health, and their independence. And that can even be such things. And you even mentioned Janet Bolig. That could be even long-term planning or financial issues or whatever. The people that you refer to are not just Home Health United agency service individuals. That could be a number of perhaps how many other referring agencies do you have in the community resource program?
There's so many. Yeah. When you think about clinical home care, you think about custodial services, support services, entitlement numbers.
Yep. So
numerous.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate in Dane County, along with all the counties that we serve, to have a plethora of agencies out there that helps individuals maintain themselves in the home. And our social workers are very, very knowledgeable of all of those resources. So that's where I think there's a lot of help with this particular program.
We are fortunate in Wisconsin and in the counties and here in southern Wisconsin to have so many resources available for people. Not all places in the country have those resources. The key is for people to find out about them so that they know that they're there for them. And so hopefully this program will be helpful in that. I know that this piggybacks onto a new program, the Safe at Home program, that you will be, actually you're beginning to get established in it. This is just something new that you're doing in collaboration with United Way. And it will be launched this fall, so this is kind of a preview of what to expect. But tell me a little bit about the SAFE program and what it is and what your involvement will be.
I think initially when we had seen this particular grant, as we started reviewing it, the proposal itself, we discovered that it really was a natural extension of our community resource program. And as a result of that, we decided that we would pursue the grant. Again, similar to what the community resource program is that you want to be able to assist and guide and educate those folks in their homes. The goal of this particular grant is to really look specifically at falls and at adverse drug events to make sure, again, those are two leading areas in which people are hospitalized or essentially will lose some of their independence. Because of some of the falls and some of the adverse drug events. So again, this piggy banks virtually on the back of the community resource program, where we're able to go into the homes and we're able to assess general safety issues within the home to minimize the falls and to further assess for adverse drug events.
It is amazing. Wisconsin has one of the highest number of falls in the country.
Yes.
Which is surprising. And then, you know, we'd say, well, it's because of our winters and the ice. Well, it turns out, just from the few statistics I've seen, that the majority of the falls do not happen in the winter. Minnesota has one of the least number of falls, and they're right next door, and their winters might even be worse than ours. You know? So I don't know, what is it in Wisconsin that is causing this high number of falls, which do lead to dependence, hospitalization, oftentimes complications and illness, and they're just terrible, the ramifications that come out of them. Do we know, Rick?
I don't know if we know definitively. I think there could be a number of variables. But again, what we're trying to do is mitigate those going forward and helping. We talk about prevention, helping to, once again, to hopefully have those individuals be able to stay at home and not fall, not have adverse drug events, and being able to access services to ensure that they are able to stay in the home and don't have unnecessary accidents.
Well, it turns out we have a resident expert right in our studio, Jason Stapleman, our producer. He says he knows why Wisconsinites fall more. Beer.
Well, I've heard that one too. That's why I said number of variables.
So. Yeah. Oh, maybe it's beer and brandy.
Well, could be. I'm not sure. And probably some other ones as well. So,
well, here again, that involves prevention and, oh gosh, balance training and strength training are so critical. And I know they're doing major research at the University of Wisconsin here in Madison on this. We have one of the leading researchers in the country doing falls prevention research. Research. So how are you going to, and then the adverse drug events. People, as they age, they take more medications. And here again, the statistics, if you take, 6 or 8 medications or more, you have 100% chance of having some kind of adverse drug event. Either you've mixed up the medications or not taking them properly, or your system, and they mingle with each other and don't agree with each other, or your whole body chemistry doesn't tolerate them well. And so there can be any number of reasons that these adverse drug events lead to illness, complications, and they lead to falls also. So how will you begin to go about addressing this? Because your goal is prevention, that this doesn't happen, that those statistics come down dramatically.
Again, it's education, educating the individuals, the seniors, in their homes, in the community, and their families regarding all the various risks associated with falls, what they can do in their homes to minimize some of the risks that are associated with falls and adverse drug events. It's education. It's simply sharing and telling people what they're able to do in order to minimize some of those falls and adverse drug events.
And how will you educate? Will you actually go into the homes and do assessments?
Yes, we will. We'll be going in and doing a safety assessment, a basic assessment, through some volunteers, at which point we will then assess from that particular assessment what is needed and provide recommendations to that person.
And actually some very simple things that we, I think, take for granted. Area rugs. Is there an extension cord that maybe the senior would potentially trip over? Those types of things. And then we're also going to be utilizing our pharmacy staff to help out with the adverse drug events and making sure that there aren't contraindications with the medications that individuals are taking. And you had mentioned, 6 to 8. I've known a number of people that have actually had 20 or 30 medications, so I only know how susceptible they actually are of having unfortunate accidents and falls.
And those certainly are important areas to go into the home and look for the cords and the area rugs and the clutter and all of that. I see in some of this that just decluttering homes can help a whole lot. But it takes more than that. People need to build up their strength and their personal wellness. It takes a village and a lot of providers and a lot of people in the community who are focused on this. Who are you looking to in the other areas? And will the physicians be getting involved? Will exercise people be getting involved? Senior centers? How is this going to really spread out through the community?
Our plan is to really market this program as well as the community resource program to let people know that this service is available. That in turn we'll be talking with physicians and collaborating with a lot of our colleagues in the community through various programs. And working with them to try to get this information out.
Will you be using volunteers to do these assessments?
Yes, we will.
So that's going to be a lot of volunteers and a lot of training.
Yes, definitely.
Is this throughout Dane County or beyond?
This particular program with United Way is strictly with Dane County. The community resource program is all the counties we serve. But the funding for the program with United Way of Dane County will strictly be our county. However, if we're successful with this going forward, it's something that we would want to extend to the other counties and hopefully maybe even the state of Wisconsin to mitigate that high number of falls that we actually have. Whereas, as you indicate, Carol, Minnesota has very few falls, comparably speaking. So,
Well, it's interesting. I mean, if you are learning this, all of this information, you find out what works and you're seeing some significant reductions, you're already doing it in 24 other counties. I mean, your knowledge is going to have to just naturally spread to those other counties because it's part of your efficiency and prevention services.
Exactly.
Yeah. What kind of strategies, what are you looking at to be effective? Do you have a particular number in mind? I read something, it was about 75%. You're really looking at 75% of interventions that will result in eliminating the adverse drug events in the falls?
We're minimally thinking to start off with that we'll be able to see 100 individuals per month, especially with more marketing for both the program, the SAFE program with United Way of Dane County, but also with the Community Resource Program. And so consequently, 75% of the phone calls that we get, we hope that and we expect that we will be able to mitigate potential hospitalizations by being able to help facilitate making sure that they are safe and sending that volunteer out, checking out the home. Maybe it's even a bathroom that they're not able to get into the bathtub. So maybe they need some sort of a bath seat or multitude of different things that the volunteers will be trained to help identify to mitigate, again, the unfortunate accidents.
And then you have the equipment that could be put in the home.
Yes, we have the equipment, but we also, as Jana indicated before, make sure that choice is provided. And there's a number of different very, very quality providers in the Madison area and outside of the Madison area and are the other counties that we serve that can also provide those types of services. And people don't necessarily think that equipment is important, but it is equally important. If you can't get yourself into a bathtub, maybe a bath bench would be something, and you still could maybe not get into the bathtub, but be able to wash yourself and bathe yourself more appropriately.
What I have learned, and this isn't just that you have the equipment, but there are many sources to get good equipment, but that equipment is made and built and installed for that purpose, and sometimes people are trying to make shift and do their own.
Yes.
And actually increasing the potential of falling because the equipment isn't safe.
Exactly.
And they think it is, and so then they're depending on it, and it falls off or it doesn't hold them or whatever. So it's really critical to have these professionals, you know, skilled people, assess the situation and have the proper equipment put in.
Absolutely. And a good example, Carol, is a bathroom grab bar. You want to make sure that you have somebody who knows how to make sure that the grab bar goes into the studs of the wall. And there's a number of providers that can do that out there. If you don't put the grab bar in the wall at the studs, then you're susceptible of actually being able to pull on that bar and then falling and injuring yourself.
What I'd like to turn back to is the individual and what the individual could do. I just did a Living Minute, as a matter of fact, this week. It's called Exercise at Any Age. It's on that topic. And there's research, leading research out there, that they have clinically studied people in their 80s and 90s and put them into actually aerobic and strength training and balance exercises. And they advance as quickly as younger people do. Now, they're not going to advance and be, you know, as strong or as aerobically fit or whatever, but at any age you can improve. And I think people, they think, oh, I'm too old. And I hope that that's going to be part of your program, that you're going to look to see that there's going to be maybe less need for all of these changes and pieces of equipment because they can become stronger and healthier themselves.
That certainly would be our preference going forward, and being able to facilitate getting those people into exercise programs. And again, in Madison and Dane County, we have a great deal of programs that would be available for individuals, and especially in the senior age bracket.
And people, if they want to be a part of this program or assess and think, oh, that's me, I take all these medications and I'm not feeling right and I get dizzy or whatever, they can call you, right?
Absolutely.
And then you'll just step right in. So it's not just a matter of you're finding the people. Well, these are two exciting programs, Community Resource Program, and then moving right into the Safe at Home Program. Safe at Home Program, is that any age requirement on that? Is that just for seniors?
That is actually just for seniors at this point in time. But again, depending upon the success rate, because a lot of people have needs that are not seniors. And so therefore, we hope to extend it out to other populations as well.
Well, and I hope as the news continues to grow on this and the success rate continues to increase, that it will become everybody in the community will know about it, and it can be a practice that any of us can adapt in our own lives.
Exactly.
We're going to stop for our final break. We'll be back with our last few minutes with Janet Bolick and Rick Bourne from Home Health United here on All About Living on WTDY 1670. I'm Carol Kobe, and stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back with our last few minutes with Rick Bourne and Janet Bolick, President, CEO, and Director of Social Work, Spiritual Services, and the Community Resource Program of Home Health United. And we've been talking about how Home Health United is positively and assertively moving forward in today's healthcare environment, looking at cuts, already experiencing some cuts in the funding through Medicare and Medicaid, and looking at more. But you're being very creative and looking at ways that you can continue to provide services in a most efficient way. Connect the individual with whatever service or program that is needed to help make everyone safer, healthier, and independent for as long as possible. You have the Community Resource Program, which you have that's been going on for a couple of years now.
Actually, no, we just started it last fall.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. 2010. I'm trying to
think. We were planning in the planning process. Okay, at the beginning of 2010.
Right. And that telephone number is 1-800-900-8040, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You'll get a live person, and you can talk to that individual about any particular need you have with yourself or anybody in the household that is threatening the safety, health, and independence, anything that is escalating where things are just getting out of control and you need help, and it could be.
And that's the direct number in order to get to central intake. We also have the general 800 number for Home Health United.
Oh.
They, too, can also forward the call to that number. And our general number for Home Health United is 1-800-924-CARE, which is 1-800-924-2273.
And we'll put both of those numbers on carolcobyradio.com. And then you talked about the SAFE program. And just briefly describe the SAFE program again, which is going to be officially launched in September.
Exactly. The SAFE program is safety assessment for the elderly. We are collaborating with United Way in looking at directly bringing attention to falls and adverse drug events, looking at going into people's homes and doing a brief assessment to identify any safety issues they might have in the home.
And you'll be using professionals to work with people in preventing the falls. And then you have a pharmacist. You have a pharmacist program?
Yes. Actually, we recently started a home infusion program, and they will also be being able to look at medication profiles to see if there are any contraindications that would potentially have an adverse drug event, mm-hmm. and then ultimately have a fall occur. And so we think that's going to be advantageous. And we'll also be working with the local pharmacists wherever the individual gets their medications from.
Well, we're going to be doing a lot more about this program on this program, particularly after it launches in September. So this is kind of a preview of things to come. But that doesn't take away from the regular services that you continue to offer. And flu season is right around the corner. And is this year a big flu year?
I haven't heard whether or not it's going to be a big flu year, but I highly encourage people. Once again, preventive medicine is very, very important. I highly encourage if you're able to get a flu shot, especially if you are a senior. I think it's very important, or maybe have some other types of diagnoses that would make you susceptible to getting the flu, then make sure you get a flu shot. And very, very important. And there's so many opportunities and so many different places to get that flu shot. But it's an important program for Home Health United as well.
And when does that flu season start? When would people begin to think about getting a flu shot?
Well, actually, we're rolling into it probably at the end of the month.
Really?
And so actually, starting earlier, we found out that that we're better served starting as early as we possibly can. And we'll probably be doing our flu program from August until maybe mid-December.
Is this a new vaccine this year? Do you know?
You know, I don't. I'm not a clinician, so I can't answer that. But my understanding is that it's one that hopefully will take care of the bugs that are out there. But unfortunately, there's always some sort of new kind of strain that is
right.
out there.
I know they kind of hope, you know, they develop it a year in advance based on what the flu has been, and hope that they've called it right as far as what the flu will be the next year with the vaccine that they develop.
And I sure don't hear anything about the H1N1 anymore. So maybe that's kind of gone by the wayside, which it would be a great thing as well.
Right. Janet, can you just kind of review the various services that you offer? Because sometimes people, unless they hear it, they don't really think of it themselves. And we just have a couple minutes left.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. As far as the clinical services, we have clinical home care. Of course, that's provided in all the counties we service. Within that program, we have a skilled nursing component, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, medical social workers, and home health aides. We also have hospice that we provide in our northern county areas. Again, that's for those folks that are terminally ill and want to remain home with our hospice services. We also have the home medical equipment component of our company, looking at the in-home equipment needs and safety needs. And, of course, the community health and wellness, looking at the immunizations, community education, and corporate wellness. And then lastly, we have...
Actually, we also have a Meals on Wheels program that we offer 7 days a week. Kind of the postal service, rain, sleet, snow, whatever, we usually get out there. We actually do get a grant from the Downtown Rotary Foundation to provide blizzard meals to those individuals if, in fact, we're not able to get our volunteers out with inclement weather.
Well, that's a lot of services. You must feel like you're running a whole bunch of little companies within the big organization of Home Health United.
That's why I actually don't have any hair left, Carol.
Yeah. So. Well, thank you for doing it. HomeHealthUnited.org is the contact, 1-800-924-CARE, or the new community resource number, 1-800-900-8040. This segment of our program today has been brought to you by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center. Thank you so much, Rick Bourne, Janet Bolig from Home Health United, for sharing all the exciting news. They're really putting a positive spin on the challenges, and sometimes we rise to the occasion and better things happen as a result.